The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast in association with Boyle Sports. It's Monday the 23rd of May. My name's Sam Hart and we're going to be looking back at the action that took place over the last weekend. This week I'm joined by Team Ireland on the postcard. It's Mark Boylan and Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. Leon, what a weekend of sport gone by. I know you're a Liverpool fan, so it might be a tough one to take yesterday. But look, I also know you were at the Curragh for some top quality action over the weekend. How was the weekend in all?
The weekend was great. Yeah, some great sport. A bit of heartbreak, obviously, yesterday. I think 2-0 up to Villa. I think most Liverpool fans were expecting Liverpool to beat Wolves, although they didn't play great, but they got there in the end. But I think if they had scored and went ahead while City were trailing, we might have got a different outcome. But the league table doesn't lie, so fair play to Man City. And yeah, some great action at the Curragh over the weekend. Thankfully, the rain stayed away for the most part, and it was very enjoyable. I think we've seen some really, really top-level performers that we're going to discuss on the show.
We definitely will get into some of those, especially Homeless Songs. Can't wait to talk about her. Now, Mark, I'll get your thoughts on the Guineas later on in the postcast, but how are things with yourself over in Ireland?
Grand, yeah, and I'm not a Liverpool fan either, so I'm not as heartbroken as Leon. You went straight in there at that one. No regard for the man at all after a hard Sunday, but I'm a United fan, so it's been even worse again. So, look it up. Yeah, and I'm living in a house here. My sister is a massive Man City fan, so I've had it absolutely every direction here. And a lot of the guys in the Racing Post in Ireland are Liverpool fans, so don't know whether to kind of smile one direction and cry the other. But look, all is good. Really enjoyed being at the Curragh Saturday. Maybe we didn't have huge fireworks from Native Trail, but that's just him. And I thought he was a very dominant winner, so looking forward to getting through it all with you.
Plenty of good racing to keep the smiles going. Let's get into this then, gents. The first part of the postcast, we'll look at the action from the UK. Then the second part, we'll look at the action from the Curragh. And then the final part, we'll look at any races elsewhere as well as your naps of the weekend. Now, good on Friday. We had an enjoyable couple of days up there. I was up there. The sun was shining. And there was some great action on display on the South Downs. And we had the Height of Fashion Stakes, which was won by Sea Silk Road for the Haggis team. We had the Cocked Hat Stakes won by Lionel. Now, Lionel looks like either a Royal Ascot or the Irish Derby could be on the agenda. He looks a ledger horse to me. And then Sea Silk Road for the William Haggis team, who are just in electric form at the moment. What did you make of those two races, Mark?
Yeah, I'd be totally in your camp with a view to Lionel. Like, if you look at his pedigree, Dam Gretchen, she was, a Park Hill winner, mile and six. And she's a half to another Irish St. Ledger winner, Duncan. And again, another Doncaster Cup winner, 2 mile two. So I thought he did well to win on the day. I wouldn't be overly hot on him for the Irish Derby. He could be the sort of horse that could run on well if we have lots of pace in the race. But I don't necessarily see him as the winner of that. I would be far more interested in with a view to the ledger. God knows what will kind of be on the premises by then. We'll learn more, I suppose, after Epsom and the Curragh. But wouldn't be one I'd dismiss very, very easily now. I think he's a nice horse, likeable attitude, and good performance. And as for Sea Silk Road, I mean, William Haggis, if I was trained by him, he'd nearly get me to win. And that's saying something. But it's unbelievable, the form at the moment of the stable. And lots to like about the way she came home. By Sea the Stars, just shaped as though no problem at all getting up to a mile and a half. Something like the Ribblesdale could be interesting. But just unstoppable team at the moment, the Haggises.
They really are. And Leon, we were only discussing a few weeks back about kind of Appleby being the team that everyone's got to beat and they're dominating every race, but Haggis seems to be having none of that.
Oh, look, I mean, yeah, like as Mark said, he's just absolutely on fire. And we'll discuss the Curragh later in the show, but he's just, whatever he sends out now at the moment, they're all running to the best of their level and the best of their capability. And just going back to Lionel as well, I thought it was a really good victory in terms of Frankie. They didn't go a pace at all. It was a really slowly run race. Frankie was dictating the fractions from the front on Aldous Huxley. So for Lionel to actually get there in the end, I thought it was a really, really good run. I think they're going to go to Curragh with him. It's a big galloping track. Whether he's good enough to win an Irish Derby, I don't know. But I do think the track will suit. If there's a bit more pace on, it will definitely suit him. But definitely, like, the ledger is something over a mile and six that you think that Lionel could play a big role in. Sea Silk Road, Stepping up and trip again, I would imagine next time out, as Mark said, to a mile and a half. And she's not really dependent on any ground. She won on good ground at Nottingham, and she's won on soft ground at Goodwood. So I think Sea Silk Road, yeah, step up and trip, and we might see more improvement to come.
Two exciting horses. And Lionel, you've got to remember, last year's Cocked Hat Stakes winner, Lone Eagle, ended up finishing second in last season's Irish Derby. So potentially Lionel, an outsider for this year's renewal of that race. And we'll move on to Saturday, where there were two listed races at Goodwood. We had the Festival Stakes, that was won by Majestic Dawn, and the Tapster Stakes, won by Third Realm. Two races that I found it so hard to find the winner of. But God, Jim Crowley gave Majestic Dawn some ride out in front. Leon, maybe not the best two races we'll be discussing this week. However, Majestic Dawn has given us a big boost to Solid Stone. That horse was beaten 17 lengths behind Solid Stone in the Huxley Stakes. Was there any sort of horses in those races that caught the eye at all?
Yeah, look, I mean, the Majestic Dawn race, I mean, I think like some of the jockeys won't want to look back at the replay, because they certainly gave Jim Crowley a lot of leeway up front. And I mean, he was about 8 or 9 lengths clear turning into the home straight, and he was just never, ever going to come back. Looking at the race, is there anything to take out of it? Maybe the second horse, because made up an awful lot of ground, West End Charmer did from a good ways back. He was only beaten 3 3/4 lengths at the finish. But as I said, Majestic Dawn, it was an enterprising ride from Crowley, but I don't think the other lads will be wanting to watch that race over again. I was massively impressed with Third Realm. Really stepped up from his seasonal debut, where he was third at Ascot behind Al Azzi. And the manner in which Third Realm actually put the race to bed, he showed a devastating turn of foot. And that's probably his best performance of his career so far. I mean, he won by 6 lengths, and he won very, very easily indeed. Of course, he finished, what, 5th in the Derby behind Adair last year. Wasn't suited by Epsom at all. And it'll be interesting just to see with Thurn Brown, will they go to the Hardwick at Royal Ascot with him? He does have an entry there, but certainly he really caught my eye. I thought that was a very, very taken performance from the son of Sea to Stars.
You'd have to be impressed by that, and a good form boost to RC as well. Mark, I mentioned Lone Eagle earlier. A bit disappointed he went off odds on favourite on Saturday. Obviously, like I say, second in the Irish Derby last year. May have needed the run, but you'd probably hope to have seen better from him.
Yeah, I'd just like to have seen a little bit more spark. But look, at 300-odd days off the track, and it hasn't been entirely straightforward for him during that period. So I'm not overly coming out hard on him, but it's going to be a little bit of a road back to Group 1 company for him, I think. I think a little bit of kindness in the ground has just helped Third Realm here. Very good performance. Struggled to view that as a strong contest beyond, let's say, if Lone Eagle had shown up and given him a rattle and they'd drawn clear, they'd have more confidence, I suppose, in the form. And Roger Varian, for all that he had some winners, a couple of them had disappointed. So that was half putting me off heading here. But he got on the score sheet as well at the weekend with Believe in Love 2 and Group 3 company at York. So, like, overall, a smart horse, but there's another step to take to make it even to Hardwick level, I'd feel. And to be honest, going back to what Leon was saying about the Festival Stakes, West End Charmer, he was in the notebook very much for me after this. You know, again, another horse that probably hasn't been entirely straightforward to train, judged on kind of gaps. I just had scribbled down here, 184 days, 372 days, 460 days, and 241 days. Like, you know, that hasn't been entirely straightforward for him all the way through, but they've gelded him since his break. It was his first start since September, and given how the race panned out, I was more than happy with that. Stormy Antarctic always seems to come on for his first run of the season as well, so you'd be satisfied enough with that, but there was no beating the winner the way the race unfolded, Majestic Dawn.
I agree with both of you, gents. I think West End Charm was potentially one to really take out the race. I'm sure Mark and Charlie Johnson have got an eye potentially later on in the season for the Qatar Goodwood Festival. I'm sure that's potentially a name with that horse. Now, let's head up north now to Haydock, where on Saturday we had the Sandy Lane Stakes. That was won by El Caballo, and we had the Temple Stakes won by Her Majesty's King's Lynn. Mark, El Caballo, a horse who's beaten the likes there of Flaming Rib, who won at Chester, beat the Mill Reef winner in Wings of War, Commonwealth Cup Trial winner and Railway Stakes winner Go Bears Go, and many other strong performers in behind. 6-1 with Ball Sports for the Commonwealth Cup. Might not be a bad bet, that.
It's amazing when these sprinters get rolling, isn't it? Like, when they just get momentum up, and obviously it's the progressive horse, and needless to say, where he started off and where he's now ended up, he's come a fair way in a relatively short space of time. this was a question mark just coming here, whether he would quite fit in at this level. He absolutely does. In terms of the horses behind him, Flaming Rib, I think, has run a screamer. And his overall campaign in this season, like he got plenty of useful experience at two. You know, they tried to see maybe whether he'd be a Guineas horse, stuck a hood on him in the green, and just didn't work out. They've done the opposite then and go back to five at Chester, and he's beat King's Lynn. And then to come here and finish second, I thought it was a smart effort in the circumstance. He's raced in the centre. The leader, or the winner, I should say, has had more railage to work with, I suppose, and to help him along. But and Go Bear's Go, you know, wasn't help for him at the start. He stumbled. If you watch that back, I'm more than happy to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, whether he'd have beaten the winner, you know, he's beaten 2 3/4 lengths here. I'm not saying he would have, but he would have finished closer. And he obviously liked to be up and handy previously at Ascot. And just starting off on the back foot in a race like this, you know, sprints, you need plenty to go right. And that just didn't set him off on the right foot. So I could easily see the one, not to be discounting the third out of the question either for a Commonwealth Cup Wings of War, but I could easily see the 1-2-4 here being in the shake-up for a Commonwealth Cup. But it's a spicy enough category at the moment, that sprinting division for three-year-olds. Mightn't have an absolute superstar there. Like, Perfect Power is obviously very, very smart, but a very open Commonwealth Cup. I think it'll be hard to go there and say there's going to be one that's absolutely standout. And even looking at the top two-year-olds of last season, like of the top 11 two-year-olds in Europe last year, all of them were targeted at a Guineas. You know, so with that in mind, you have something there coming back like a Perfect Power for a crack at this. And I'm excited by it as a division. We don't have a standout, but I think we're going to learn an awful lot more when we do get to ride Ascot.
Completely agree. El Caballo, 6 from 7 now, 6 in a row for the Carl Burt trained horse. Very exciting going into the Commonwealth Cup. Leon King's Lynn, David Probert was on fire on Saturday. Great to have a winner for Her Majesty. And I thought the King's Stand would be the aim for this horse, which I think is 12-1 for with Ball Sports. But discussions about the Platinum Jubilee were mentioned. You'd surely think a strongly run King's Stand would be best for him.
Yeah, look, I mean, he was 7th in that race last year, beaten 3 1/4 lengths, King's Lynn. So has also won over 6. But yeah, I mean, I would be looking at the King's Stand. For obvious reasons, though, the Platinum Jubilee would have a big draw to have a runner for the Queen in that particular race. But I think the 5 at Ascot is probably where they'll go. I mean, I thought he was all out to hold on from Twilight Calls over the 5. It was a cracking race. There was nothing in it between them at the finish. Has an official rating now of 108. So I would say the King's Stand probably is where they'll go with King's Lynn. I don't think the 6 at Ascot on the Saturday would be where I'd go. In the Sandy Lane Stakes, there was a horse I wanted to just mention because I thought he got no luck in running whatsoever, and that was Katura for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby. Like, this horse ran in the Coventry at the Royal Meeting last year. I mean, he finished 7th, but again, it was only beaten like 3 1/4 lengths in that Coventry. And I just thought, especially in the last furlong, things didn't go right, got stopped, lost probably at least 3rd place, maybe would have got closer to El Caballo and Flaming Rib. But that's a horse I wanted to take out from it. I think Katura is the one for me to take out of that Sandy Lane.
Yeah, Katura was right up there in the finish as well. And your neck behind Go Bears Go. And like you say, they're all decent horses up the front there. Just quickly, Mark, with regards to King's Lynn, would you go 5 or 6 with him?
I get the case for 5 being probably a better trip, but I think that the King's Stand is going to be absolutely red hot. Like, I'd imagine that, you know, the British horses, without, and I think the British horses in general in that kind of division will be better than Irish horses. We see Brad the Brief coming over, for example, and winning the Greenlands, which I'm sure we'll touch on at some stage at the Corra on Saturday. But the international horses coming to those sprints this year at Royal Ascot, I think that could nearly make these races some of the most exciting, you know, of the week. You have Nature Strip coming from Australia for Chris Waller, 8-time Group 1 winner down there. Golden Pal, who Wesley Ward, I know, unusually Wesley Ward been bullish, but like, he's always absolutely loved this horse. I think he might have called him Jesus Christ at one stage. He was so strong in him. Like, this is Golden Pal. I've had such time for him. His first 2 trips to England haven't worked out. Like, those two will be going to the King's Stand, you'd have to imagine. Probably a case of you, Aidan McGuinness, you'd imagine he might be on the sheet as well. Romantic Proposal, another that has 2 options, I suppose. But like, that looks a deep race, and I think that just might be a little level ahead of what King's Lynn achieved here. And the Platinum Jubilee Stakes, I know that the other Australian horse, the Big Hope Home Affairs, another Chris Waller horse, you know, he's going to be, I think he's value at the moment in that market at 5-1. But beyond that, it's quite open, and there are some horses that are double entered that won't line up in the two options. You know, Kings Lynn, if you're looking at the most attractive race in terms of opposition, I'd be looking at the Platinum Jubilee, but Kingstown 5 is probably his trip. So it's a tricky one. I just to touch on it very, very briefly, with the runner-up, I thought he's run a cracker, Twilight Cause. He's not there yet. He's 4. He's still learning about sprinting at that level, but no better man than Henry Candy with a sprinter like that to bring them along gradually. And I would not be surprised in any shape or form if he is a better horse than Kings Lynn by the end of the season.
There's another one to note. And yeah, interesting what you say about Royal Ascot. Really looking forward to this year's Royal Ascot. With so many international races, like you mentioned, the Australians, the Americans, the French will be over, and I'm sure Japan will have a couple of runners as well. So really looking forward to that. While we're on kind of discussing the Queen's Ride, I just want to give a quick mention for the second in the race at Sandown on Thursday. That was the Heron Stakes, Reach for the Moon. For John and Fady Gosden, I'd say that they'd be really happy with the run there. Finished second behind a Haggis horse in My Prospero, but Gosden said before the race that, you know, the horse is going to really need that run, and Reach for the Moon looks like he could potentially be on his way to Royal Ascot. Now, that's the UK racing cover. Join us in just a few seconds to look back at the racing from the Curragh, where we've seen a new star filly potentially announce herself on the world stage.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Mark Boylan and Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. All eyes were on the Curragh for the Guineas on the weekend. However, we had some strong racing surrounding the showpiece races. On Saturday, we had the Marble Hill Stakes won by Blackbeard and the Island Greenland Stakes won by Brad the Beef. Leon, Blackbeard looks very exciting to me, and I think Boyle Sports go 7-2 about him for the Coventry, which looks, you know, a really strong race, by the way, at this moment in time. What were your thoughts on Blackbeard?
Yeah, look, I mean, it was interesting to hear what Aidan O'Brien had said about him after winning at the Curragh, that because obviously his second victory was over 5. They wanted to step him up to 6 just to see, really, it was a trial for Ascot to see, was he going to be able to go to the Coventry? But you'd have to be very, very taken with that performance. He made every yard a winning one, and the favourite was right in behind him. Had every kind of chance, I suppose, but just wasn't able to pick him up on the day. But I think that was the nature of the performance from Blackbeard. It was a very, very good taking performance. Tough talk, never really got into it. And the O'Callaghan colt was third, wasn't it, Maymar? But I mean, he won by 3.5 lengths, but he won going away. And the Curragh is not an easy 6, neither is Royal Ascot. So as a kind of a prep run for the Coventry, and to see would he get the 6 and would he stay the 6, he did it very well, and he was very, very taking indeed. And he's joint favourite now with Persian Force, both of them at 7-2.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and I'm looking forward to Blackbeard stepping up and trip further in time. I think the Railway Stakes was mentioned after Royal Ascot, and I've got a feeling this horse is just going to get better and better in time. Mark, you mentioned a case of you earlier for Royal Ascot. A bit disappointing as the favourite on Saturday, beaten by Brad the Brief. What did you take out of that race?
Yeah, I know we had a stewards inquiry here, and, you know, Connections of Mooney Stand might feel a little bit upset here in the sense that they've been brought across the track. You know, intimidation as much as anything else. But I do think probably the best horse is the one on the day. And it's another example of some of these horses. I got to have time for Tom Dascombe as a trainer, but Hugo Palmer is getting a tune out of these horses too. There's absolutely no question about that. And I thought it was a smart display. Now, look at, possibly you'd imagine that you might just struggle at the very, very top end of it, but there are races in Ireland and he clearly handles the Curragh, and you'd be more than happy to come back over here and try to mop up some more of these. You would have got the impression that they were hoping for a big performance from him. This was a race that the timing was perfect for him to build towards Royal Ascot. You know, he's a Group 1 winner, he's trying to give away a penalty here. I'd have thought that he'd come away from that more than happy. With a view to now having a crack at that. Like, he's won 2 Group 1s, and Aidan McGuinness has said previously that, you know, a run really does bring him forward. He is always better after a run. So you know, there was, I think, 8 weeks between his last run, something along those lines, 7-8 weeks. But another few weeks to go to Royal Ascot, that should put him nicely in the driving seat for a go at that. But it'll be a big step up again, as I said to you, when you're taking on those international sprinters. Just one thing to mention with Aidan's 2-year-olds on Blackbeard there in the Marble Hill. Like, from what I can see here, I think in Ireland he's ran 13 juveniles and he's won with 7 of them. You know, Blackbeard, individual horses, Blackbeard is now unbeaten, Meditate's unbeaten, the Antarctic's unbeaten. They've all ran more than once. Aidan's Fable won only start. You know, you look even the horses that have been beaten, like he's had 3 or 4 seconds there, maybe 5 seconds. And he ran 2 at the weekend. They were beaten half a length and 3/4 of a length. It just looks like Aidan's 2-year-olds are in serious nick. And, you know, we obviously had that season where they did take a little bit longer to come and there was messiness with COVID and things like that. But, God, the juvenile operation in Bide Eye, it's absolutely rolling and it could set up for a really good ride Ascot for them.
It's just incredible, isn't it? Leon, just quickly with regards to that sprint won by Brad the Brief, what did you make of that race? Do you think it was a strong race at all?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'd agree with what Mark said in terms of a KCU. I thought it was a perfect, and I think Ada had said it prior to the race that, you know, he will need this in terms of being spot on for Royal Ascot. So if you're a fan of the horse, which I am, he's been a superb flag bearer for Ada and for Ronan Whelan, and he'll go to Ascot with every chance. You would feel a little bit sorry for Muniesta's connections. However, Brad the Brief, when they straightened up, he was going away again at the line, in fairness. So, as Mark said, I mean, there is some valuable sprints over here. But Hugo Palmer is definitely getting a good tune out of this fella. Do I think he can win a Group 1? Not too sure would be my own opinion. But certainly at Group 2 level, there's a lot of valuable races that he could mop up. So very good for connections. He will bring plenty of money into their satchels over the course of the season. But a case of you, it was a good trial for Royal Ascot.
Completely agree with you there, Leon. I think you're right in saying that horse will be winning plenty of good Group 2s and Group 3s, but I'm not sure whether he's potentially up to Group 1 level as of yet. Let's move on to the highlight on the Saturday then. This was the Tattersall's Irish 2000 Guineas, a Group 1. Over a mile, won by Native Trail, the second in the Newmarket Guineas. I was actually on the review postcast when he won the Craven. I discussed how he'll never look like a flashy horse. He's always on when he is under pressure, he responds really well and he just keeps grinding it out. I love horses that do this. Is that probably a fair assessment of the way he does things, Mark?
Yeah, he always hits the line as if he'll stay a bit further. Now, I do think he'd probably get an easy 10 furlongs, but a mile, he can hit the line hard like that, I'd be more than happy to keep him in that sort of territory. As far as a, you know, an Irish 2000 Guineas goes, there was nobody that went in here and thought this was a vintage running beyond Native Trail. Like, obviously he was a standout by far. I think he was rated something like 19 pounds better than the runner up and the fourth. You know, he is superior to these. Strictly on the figures, you would have expected him to maybe beat the runner up by a little more, but as you highlighted, his style of race, and I don't think he's going to lend himself to putting up and winning by 10. I actually spoke to Norman Williamson, who sold his horse as a breeze up horse, I think for 210,000, not about 12 months ago, something like that. And he just basically said everyone might have wanted him to come here and bolt up and win by half the track, but this fella is not going to do it. That's just not his nature. So he's a tremendous horse, and he clearly likes this track. William Buick just knows when to press his button correctly. You know, obviously it's easier when you're on a good horse, or easier when you're on a good horse, but he just particularly understands how to get the best out of him. I came away from the Guineas at Newmarket feeling that if he was on the other side, he might well have won. But as far as Godolphin are concerned, to have had 3 2000 Guineas at Newmarket, the Cora and Longchamp, and to win all 3 with 3 different colts, you couldn't script it much better, could you? The first owner and trainer combination to ever do that with 3 different horses in the same year. Just of the ones behind, New Energy is around a screamer. Traded at 6-4 and running. Looked like it might even go and pull off an upset at one stage. But I think they were even of the belief that, you know, the winner was always going to pull out more. Imperial Fighter ran well as well. You know, looking at Newcastle previously. But the one I just wanted to touch on was Wexford Native, because I think he's a colt of serious promise for Jim Bulger. Jim obviously won this race last year at Max Swinney. But, you know, this was just his third start. And the way the race unfolded here, he's raced closer to the pace than any of them involved the finish. Like the pair that led the way, Mallex and Atomic Jones, they've ended up finishing last and second last. And this guy has hung in there. He's only just been collared late on for third. I thought it was a serious effort. you know, I wouldn't even be shocked if he was to have a crack at something. You know, I'd be interested in him in a French derby. I'm not quite sure whether he would stay a Curragh trip for a derby. But I thought that was a massive run from a horse making just the third start of his career. Wexford native, very, very pleased with him. But the winner, league of his own, really.
It may not have been the strongest Irish 2000 guineas, but yeah, look, plenty of horses potentially to take note of him behind. And Leon, I know you were there at the car. I don't know if anything was mentioned, but a lot of people, like Mark said, want to see this horse stepped up and tripped. Do you think that could be the case?
Yeah, maybe, excuse me, maybe a little bit later on the season. But it was very interesting to hear what kind of Charlie Appleby said in relation to the James's Palace. It's the last kind of time that the three-year-old can kind of take, you know, each other on. And it might be very interesting if, I mean, it'd be great for racing fans if we saw Native Trail reoppose against Caribas once again. I mean, Sheikh Mohammed is a sports person, a sports racing man, and he might let these guys take each other on, because that would be fascinating if we seen them go head to head once again at the Royal Meeting. But I'm kind of with Mark as well. I think this horse just does what he has to do. He's never going to be... He was very flashy, though, Mark, in the National Stakes at the Curragh last year. But maybe he's just grown up a little bit and just does now all that's required of him. But certainly, you know, you look at something maybe like the Judmont, a York flat track over a mile and a quarter, you would suggest that shouldn't be a problem to Native Trail later on in the season, come August time. But it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens with these Godolphin colts. Will they take each other on at the Royal Meeting? It'd be a great spectacle, but I just don't know whether they will.
Let's put you on the spot then, Leon. If they both do turn up at Royal Ascot, who would you be with?
Caribas.
Okay. Mark, who would you be with?
I think Native Trail. I know Charlie Appleby probably might give you a different answer. Apologies if I'm misquoting Charlie there, but I think he obviously has a big soft spot for Caribas. But Native Trail has been there, done that, has the experience edge. There won't be much in it now, but Native Trail, just take him. And you know, if Leon is correct in terms of the Judmont, if that was to happen, my word, if you thought that Baid could be stepping up to 10 furlongs in that and taking on Native Trail, Jesus, lads, we wouldn't sleep tonight thinking about that.
It'd be a fascinating race, wouldn't it, Mark? It'd be unreal.
Absolutely.
Those two horses go head to head. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, we want to see the best of the best take each other on. I mean, I know we've had plenty of discussions about this, whether it's over jumps or whether it's on the flat. We want to see the big names come up against each other, because that's what gets people excited.
Yeah, I don't think Charlie Appleby's got too much of a choice with the amount of exciting colts he has. I think in some races he's got to take them on. He's doing it, which is great to see. So we can only hope to see that race potentially at Royal Ascot in the St. James's Palace. Let's move on to the Sunday now, gents. And before we get on to the Irish 1,000 guineas, let's have a look at the other two group races on the card. We had the Group 1 Tattersall's Gold Cup won by Alan Kerr, and the Landwave Stud Stakes won by Pearls Galore. Mark, Alan Kerr was another big winner for Haggis over the weekend. High definition, actually ran a career best, I think. It was an incredible performance from him. And Aidan saying not Fry can step him up in trip now. He almost stole it from the front end, but as we've mentioned throughout the show, Haggis stole the show.
Yeah, and like a really, really good performance. I thought Tom Marcand, first ride in Ireland, he was mustered here. Really pulled it out of the fire. Can't question this horse's attitude. Really, really gives everything when you get into the heat of battle. And as you point out, high definition. Like, I mean, for all of us that might have been sweetening him for the Derby last year, this was like a, geez, is this you? Is this definitely high definition? I lost kind of time for the horse. Not totally this season, but I just didn't think we were ever going to get back to that sort of level again. But this looks to be the way to ride him. Good and aggressive. It suited him. Got a big stride. They'd be more than happy to have a crack now at some of the international type races with him, I'm sure, in these sort of circumstances. Personally, I had this kind of down as a shootout between State of Rest and Lord North. Both have ran well. I think State of Rest probably, he could have ran up to a similar standard than he has even in winning the Gannet last time. And Lord North, I don't know, maybe he could have had things unfold a little bit more smoothly. But all in all, the winner just was incredibly tough. I know he's a little bit way behind in fifth, but Broome, Aidan O'Brien had warned that he was going to need the run and would improve from it. So if you're a fan of Broome, don't panic just yet. Actually, I think a freak accident happened to him in Japan when he last ran. Prior to this, I think a horse kicked him after the race, I think, and he shattered some bone or broke some bone on him. So they've had to just mind their way back with him. And I didn't think it was a bad run in the circumstances for all he wasn't fighting it out. But if you're a fan of him, don't give up. But Alan Kerr, fair play.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Broome, so hopefully, yeah, we get to see better from him next time out. Leon, thoughts on the Gold Cup, and also what did you make of odds on favourite Pearls Galore? And he just got the job done.
Yeah, I mean, look, on the Gold Cup, agree with both of you. Very good run by Broome. Really finished out that race exceptionally well. Bound to come on an absolute ton in terms of his own performance. High definition, yeah, wow. What a ride that would have been from Ryan Moore. But State of Rest, yeah, probably just got caught a little bit further back than maybe Shane Cross would have wanted. Had to come and try and get to Alan Quir and High Definition, and was only beaten a neck and a neck. So he's ran an absolute blinder in third as well. Look, it's going to be fascinating to see them. Hopefully the majority of them will kind of reoppose in the Prince of Wales Stakes. I mean, looking at the betting for that at a year, and Shari are 7-2 joint favourites. But I think Alan Quir at 6-1, he just loves a battle, doesn't he? I mean, anytime he gets into a battle, he puts his head down. He's like a real street fighter, and he always seems to deliver. In terms of Pearls Galore, yeah, just got there in the end, but it was a Group 2, very important for the stable. I mean, to win a Group 2, they're going to try, Paddy Toomey and Billy Lee, and they're going to try, obviously, get a Group 1. It was a huge run from Emphatic Answer for Joseph O'Brien, and Dylan Brown McMonagall was in the plate there. There was a lot of talk, obviously, around Twilight Spinner. Very disappointed with that one's run. Just never got into the race at any stage. But Pearls Galore, hopefully, they can find a Group 1 somewhere. Going to be difficult to win one. 11-8 on favourite here to win this Group 2. Going to have to step up a good bit, I feel, on this particular performance if we want to see Pearls Galore get a Group 1 to her name.
Yeah, agree. I think that potentially, yeah, it'd be great for connections if Pearls Galore could go and grab a Group 1 throughout the season. And, yeah, like you both mentioned, Alan Kerr, really impressive winner in what looks a really, really good race. Now, let's move on to the performance potentially of the weekend on Sunday. This was in the Tattersall's Irish 1000 Guineas. Homeless Songs won this in a romp for Dermot World and Chris Hayes. Leon, am I silly to say that whatever Guineas she ran in, whether it was the English or French, she would have destroyed them?
Well, she certainly put the Irish Guineas to bed quite quickly. The second and third Tuesday and Concert Hall have ran really good races in terms of, I think both fillies are middle distance fillies. They're not milers whatsoever. Concert Hall obviously won over 10, stepped back to the mile. Tuesday was third at Newmarket. But you just have to be very taken with Homeless Songs. It was an ultra professional performance. And when you look at the kind of stable form, one winner in March, one winner in April, which was Homeless Songs at Leopardstown. That was only the second winner in May. So I think you've got to actually mark up the performance even a bit more because Rosewell House hasn't been hitting the heights just yet, but maybe this will be a change in fortunes for Team Weld. But I was delighted for Chris Hayes. He just rode the filly with so much confidence. He kept her clear. He was probably on the better ground, a little bit off the rail, but that devastating turn of foot that she showed, it was remarkable. And all roads now probably lead to the coronation stakes at Royal Ascot on the Friday, where we're going to probably have two daughters of Frankel taking each other on at the head of the market. Homeless Songs is 7-4, and Inspiral is 9-4 at 6-1. Then Cachet, who of course didn't lose much in defeat in the French Guineas, having won at Newmarket. But it was great to see Dermot Weld train another classic. I think that was his fifth Irish 1000 Guineas win. But this filly just looks exceptional. She really, really does. I was so taken with her at Leopardstown. Couldn't believe that she drifted all the way out to 11-2. It was an All-Ireland price. Not saying it after the fact, but I think that was probably due to the fact that the stable wasn't in form. But Tuesday, if you've backed her for the Oaks, which I have, I wasn't too disappointed. I thought she was going to get swamped up, but she didn't. She ran on again. And it was a good run by Concert Hall. She was a mile back. So for her to finish kind of third when the gap kind of closed on her, she really picked up in the last furlong. She was only, I think she was only, what, like a half a length behind Tuesday at the finish. So both of those fillies should go to Epsom, but Homeless Songs, she really does look the real deal.
It's so good to see Dermot Weld have a real star on his hands once again. Mark, how good was this win? Like Leon mentioned, 7-4 for the Coronation Stakes now. And also, you know, Leon's already said, but a second for Tuesday in this Irish 1000 Guineas, going to the Oaks next, currently 11-2 with Ball Sports for the Oaks. Do you think she's still got to kind of go some to beat Emily Upjohn?
I think in a standard year of the Oaks, she'd be more than able to hold her own big time, but it's just Emily Upjohn. There was a hint of the wow factor about what she did at York. I'd be very, very fearful of her. And even from Concert Hall, I think in an average year, the Oaks could be bang there as well. But I really, really struggle to take on Emily Upjohn. But there probably is some juice in Tuesday's price. And I know it's been talked about before, but one thing flagged up beforehand, like Tuesday, her birthday is the 3rd of June, I think. That's what 2019, 3rd of June. Of her rivals here, one was a January foal, 7 were born in February, 3 were born in March, 2 were born in April. Like, she's considerably younger than her rivals, and she's entitled to be making progress week to week, month to month. Like, she isn't even 3 yet, technically. So I wouldn't be shocked if she does press into, you know, maybe tightening the margin here with Homeless Songs through the clash in the future. But the way the Homeless Songs won, it was brilliant to watch. It was the performance that the weekend really needed. And I'm so delighted for My Glair Stud. Like, the operation of years and years and years of just, you know, refining quality all the way along. And Dermot Weld, an absolute master. It was really the feel-good performance probably of the flat season for me so far. And it just, a bit of poignancy if you're that sort of thing with Pat Smullen, his birthday, if he was still with us, unfortunately, we really miss Pat. And, you know, he won on this Phillies Dam, and I actually think he won, if I'm correct in saying, on this Phillies Great Grand Dam. Pat was inextricably linked with Meigler, with Dermot Weld, and it was just really, really special, I thought. So enjoyed it. Struggled to even convey how much I enjoyed it, but as far as the race goes, she was head and shoulders above the rest of them. I'm kind of kicking myself because I was so strong in her for Newmarket. Really, really thought that whether Inspire was there or not, she would have beaten her. And I just got cold on her. The week leading up to this, between the quiet stable form by Roosevelt's High Standards and just having missed France and missed Newmarket, I just would have liked if she had stayed rolling. But Dermot Weld knows best, doesn't he? Like, he's shown that time and time again. And 11-2, a gift, unfortunately, as I kick myself here sitting in the chair. But super performance.
Yeah, Mark, I was completely with you. I actually fancied her for the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket and the French 1,000 guineas. And yeah, just completely ignored her in this race, which I don't understand why. Did it 11-2 wasn't too bad a price, I'd say, on the day.
Sorry, big time. Big time. Like, I mean, watch her. She was shorter than that for Newmarket probably at the time she came out. So, yeah, it was... Thanks for rubbing it in, Sam. Really appreciate it.
Don't worry, we're in the same camp. Don't worry about it. Look, Homeless Song's a new superstar in the racing world, and I can't wait to see what she can do this year. Look, join us in just a moment to look back at some of the other quality racing we had from the weekend, as well as getting the team's naps for the week ahead.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with Sam Hart, Mark Boylan and Leon Blanc. There was obviously racing elsewhere over the weekend. We had racing from Auteuil, where Sel Gem won the Grand Steeplechase de Paris. Franco de Port ran a mighty race in third for William Mullins. Russian Emperor won a big Group 1 out in Chartin. Doesn't feel that long ago since he won a Hampton Court Stakes for Aidan O'Brien at Royal Ascot. Early voting won the Preakness for Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz. Epicentre once again second, like he was in the Kentucky Derby. And Maljume won the German 2,000 guineas for William Haggis and Stevie Donoghue. Leon, any of those races that caught the eye over the weekend, or is there anything else you'd like to give a mention for this week?
I'd like to give I thought the first race at the Curra on Sunday was a very intriguing maiden. It was won by Zarinsk for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane. Very, very taken performance, having to make all. But the second and third, I think, are two pretty smart fillies. Olivia Miralda, of course, who's owned by Philip Coutinho, who nearly won the league for Liverpool playing with Aston Villa. But he owns 50%, I think, with the football agent Kia Jerabkum. and never-ending story, a Dubawi filly. I'd like to see her step up to maybe 7 furlongs next time out. I think it's a very, very decent maiden indeed. The ones in France, I only watched them really. I mean, not a bad thing for Franco Deport, what, to finish third and bring home 89,000. Goes to show you what type of prize money is on offer over there in France. It's absolutely fantastic. So, although Willie Mullins came back without a winner, didn't come back without a few quid, which is all very, very important indeed. But yeah, those three fillies, Zarinsk, Olivia Moralda, and Never Ending Story, I think that could work out to be an above average maiden, that first race yesterday.
Yeah, agree with you there. And Mark, any other performances that you'd like to give a mention for this week?
Just a bit of an eye-catcher on Friday night. There's really valuable handicap, 150 grand race at the Car on Friday at 6 o'clock. And I thought Pierre Lapin, trained by Adam McGuinness, he was big, big eye-catcher. For a race of this standard where you'd expect, like, you know, huge field, I think 27 runners, you would expect it a big, big pace. It didn't look to be that way. I haven't got down to crunch the numbers yet, but the shape of the race kind of stayed intact. Pierre Lapin was coming from off the pace, 50 to one shot, but, you know, he's coming down to a really attractive mark based on his old form in England. And I would not be surprised if there should be a Premier handicap to be won with him. He's in the right hands to go and do it with Adam McGuinness as well. So Pierre Lapin, probably one to keep in mind. I just mentioned as well, Joseph O'Brien had a couple of good winners. I know he was out of luck with Buckaroo, who was just failed to fire, really, it looked as though. And Agartha ran well, in fairness, in the 1,000 guineas. But he had two good winners as well. Hannibal Barca, I'd say he's classy enough now. Won the Gala Newell on Friday night, the 5.25. It was his first start that's been bought out of Brian Meehan's yard. He previously fought to Luxembourg in the Vertem Futurity, even if I'm going to pronounce that correctly. And I'd say he has a future. And Raise You as well on the Saturday in the Orby Stakes. Maybe he's going to ruin his potential for any nice handicap now, like the Ebar. But he looks proper horse on the up now that he's got his correct distance. And Joseph's got him rolling along. Could be a big year for Raise You.
Plenty of good performances coming from the car and by the town of things from the gents. I actually can't wait to get over there. I'm over there for all 3 days of the Irish Derby Festival. I really cannot wait to be there at the Curra. Now let's try and find the listeners a few winners, gents, and get the naps of the week ahead.
This will not be beaten.
Leon, I'll start with you. Where's the nap coming from this week?
I've got one, Sandown, 6:15 on Thursday. It's a pretty decent card at Sandown. Of course, you've got the Henry II Stakes, the Brigadier Gerard Stakes, and the National Stakes, the listed sprint is where I'm going to go. And I'm going to go for the Roger Varian runner, Tajala. Was a winner first time up at Newmarket. Got to see Roger with a couple of winners over the weekend. I was very taken by Tajala first time out. And I think he can make the step up to listed company for his second race course appearance.
Okay, Tajala in the 6:15 at Sandown, a 5 furlong listed race there. And Mark, where's your best bets coming from? Is it coming from Ireland or are you going to the UK?
I would stick domestic. Johnny Murta had a good weekend at the Curra. Now, he mightn't have had runners in the top races. God, he had plenty of horses around well in handicaps. He won a maiden with Navaggio. He saddled a 1-2 in a competitive handicap with Mashour and Safe Cracker. Won with Chicago Bear, who had been frustrating to a certain degree. And Star Angel second, Miss Mirabel third. That the yard is in really, really good form. And I thought Flying Dolphin might be the latest one to capitalise on that. He runs in the 5:20 at Goran on Tuesday. You know, solid, solid maiden form. Was third on a second start at Cork. The fourth, Vellner, has gone on and won at the Curra since. Martinstown won that maiden. The horse that's got a lot of attention by virtue of his name. Boundless Ocean beat him on debut at Leopardstown. And, you know, Jim Bulger holds him in very, very high regard. Had a crack at the Guineas and then finished third in the Gala New. I just think that's rock solid form for, you know, median auction maiden. For all that, he's not going to be a huge price. He might still be made partly a price, given that we have horses like Mo Sedway, who's kind of looked like been able to win a maiden, Explorer's Way, looked like he's been able to win a maiden. Dermot Weld is one in there. But I just think Flying Dolphin, he should take all the beating in the 5:20 at Goran on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, Flying Dolphin, that's a Goran part tomorrow in the 5:20. There we go. Hopefully we found a few winners for our listeners. Remember, if you are having a bet this week, do remember to gamble responsibly. Thanks as always to Mark and Leon. Bruce will be back on Friday with Graham, Robway, Leon and others to preview the weekend action. Subscribe to the Postcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And as always, thanks for tuning in to the Racing Postcast.